Today's daf is Kritut Kaf Gimel. Okay, I made a sheet to organize, which will be hopefully very helpful. We'll just review quickly the beginning of the Mishnah that we did yesterday. You'll see that the Mishnah goes till almost the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. It's a very long Mishnah, and I charted it all out to make it simpler. Hayisha shevi'a chatata of, it should say safek. Okay, she doesn't know whether she's supposed to bring a chatata of or not. What happens? So if it's vadai, she brings an animal for a chatat, if she can afford it, otherwise, I'm sorry, an animal for an ola, and a bird for a chatat. So the ola is very easy. She says, either I'm chayev, and then this is my korban ola, and if not, I can bring a voluntary. Chatat, you can't exactly bring voluntary. So what do we do with the chatat? And that's why specifically they're dealing with the chatat ha'of. So she brings a bird, and she, but since it's a bird, and we don't burn the parts on the mizbeach, therefore we're a little bit more mekel about it. All we do is put the blood on the mizbeach, and that doesn't bother us so much if she's not really obligated. So what we do is we take the bird, we sacrifice it, but there's one issue, really. If it's really a chatat, then the kohanim are allowed to eat the meat, because that's what happens with the meat of a chatat. If it's not really a chatat, then the kohanim can't eat the meat, because what's the issue? Well, they did Malika. If you remember, Malika is the way they sacrificed in the Beit HaMikdash. But Malika is only a matir. It only works, Malika works like Shechita. But it only works for a korban. It doesn't work if it's not a korban. If I take a regular bird nowadays and I do Malika, I don't know how to do Malika, but if I do Malika, it's not going to work. Because it doesn't work like Shechita. Only for korbanot it works like Shechita. So if this wasn't really meant to be a korban, because she wasn't really chayav chatat, then the Malika doesn't allow us to eat it, in which case, right, it's almost like non-kosher meat. It's like non-shechti meat. In which case, the kohanim can't eat it. So that's the big nafka mina here between whether she's really obligated or not obligated. If she's not obligated, well, then no one can eat the meat. So therefore, let's say she brings her chatat off. Az shalonim laka, before the Malika is done, nodala sheyalda, vadai. She figures out that the miscarriage she had was really a leida. It was one of those miscarriages that is chayav a korban leida, korban yoledet, and therefore teasena vadai. The chatat becomes a vadai chatat, which means what can happen? The kohanim can eat the meat. Okay, and then we've resolved the issue. How can we just turn this? She designated it as a chatat of misafek. How can we turn it into a chatat of vadai? Shemimin shemivial hoda mivial lohoda. Just like with the asham. Right, when you bring the asham suffix and then it turns into an asham vadai, we can say, yeah, well, since it was the same type, we can just turn it into the other without needing to take a different animal. Okay, now starts five cases that are all going to have the same structure. There's going to be two pieces. We're going to have within each one, you can see on the chart, three situations. The situations are always going to be the same. First, one person eats one of the two pieces. The second case is he eats both of the pieces. The third case is one person eats one and one person eats the other. The difference between all the cases is going to be, well, what were the two pieces? What were they? What was the suffix all about? And that will affect what korbanot we're going to bring. So the first one is chaticha shel chulin v'chaticha shel hekdesh. One chulin, one hekdesh. So what is it? Suffix mi'ila, right? Did he misuse the consecrated property? Because did he eat the hekdesh, which obviously wasn't allowed? So eats one, he doesn't know which one. Patur, that's what we said. Safek me'ila, you don't bring an Hashem Taloi according to Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva mechayev Hashem Taloi, but Rabbi Akiva, this is all yesterday's Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says you bring an Hashem Taloi on a Safek me'ila case. Achala tashnia, if he actually ended up eating both of them, mevi Hashem vadai. He brings an Hashem vadai because even though he doesn't know at which point he ate the hekdesh, he knows for sure that he ate the hekdesh. If one person ate the first piece, the other person ate the second piece, according to Rabbi Akiva, since each of them are Safek Mi'ila, and according to Rabbi Akiva, on Safek Mi'ila, you bring an Hashem Taloi, so each of them don't know if they're the one who ate it, so each brings an Hashem Taloi. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shnehem Mevi'im Hashem Achat. Between the two of them, they know that one of them is Chayav and Hashem, and therefore, it's a vadai case. It's just we're not sure who's the one. So they bring one asham together and they make a tanai, a condition. Either it's yours and then I'll mochel you on my part, or it's mine and it works for me. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein shnai mevi'im asham achat. You can't have two people bringing one asham. It doesn't work like that. There's no such thing. And therefore, now we don't know what the therefore is, but it kind of sounds like he's saying, therefore, each one has to bring an asham taloi, or maybe he holds like chachamim, neither has to bring an asham taloi. We don't really know what he holds. We'll get to that later in the Gemara. Chatichat chelev, chatichat chulin. Okay, so now our second case is it's not chulin and hekdesh, it's chelev and chulin. So now we get to classic asham taloi of, right, there's a suffix about chiyuv chatat, the chelev, right? That's always our classic case we talk about. So he has a piece of chelev and a piece of chulin. So again, first option, achal achamem be'eni yodea ezamehen achal, that's very obvious, maybe asham taloi. In the previous case, it was suffix me'ila. There's a whole debate. In this case, it's suffix chelev. That's clear, you bring a chatat, you bring an asham taloi. Achal atashnia, if he ate both pieces, maybe chatat, even though, again, what's missing? Well, he doesn't know at what moment he actually ate the chelev. Right? Let's say he ate one in the morning and one in the evening, but he knows for sure he ate the chelev, so he brings a chatat. Achal achadet harishona, uba acher, v'achal atashnia. So one person eats one person eats the second one. Zemivi Hashem Taloi v'zemivi Hashem Taloi. Now here, Devar Rabbi Akiva, it says, but it shouldn't be there because here everyone agrees that each one suffek chelev. The only possible reason to disagree with this, which we'll get to in the Gemara, is what? Well, think about it. If you remember, we talked about there's a whole debate: is the chiyuv chatat of chelev only when there's two pieces, or even when there's one piece? Remember, if you eat one piece and you're not sure, is a chelev? Is it not chelev? Do you bring a chatat? There was a whole debate. Or is it only when there's two pieces, one chelev, one shuman, one regular fat, and you're not sure which one you ate, then you bring a chatat. So, if you hold that it's only that in one piece you're not going to bring a chatat, theoretically, when the second person goes to eat his chatat, when the second person goes to eat the piece of meat, there's only one piece in front of him because the first person already ate the first piece. So theoretically, maybe he wouldn't bring an asham taloi because maybe it's only one chaticha. So Tanakama is saying he brings both. Almost sounds like Tanakama is saying even if it's one chaticha, you still have to bring an asham taloi. If you recall, though, there was a whole debate about why you would say one chaticha doesn't need to bring. And one of the reasons doesn't match what I just said, because one of the reasons says it's only when there was a vadai isser. And in this case, there was a vadai isser, right? And that's originally, we know there was isser here. It's not like there's just one piece. There were two pieces. We know for sure there was isser here. And therefore, maybe even that person would still hold that. But anyway, that's just an aside. So back to our issue. So two people ate, each one. They each bring an asham taloi according to Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now we can guess what he's going to say. Since they definitely ate, somebody ate Isser, so what do? Shnehem mevim chatat achat, right? They each together bring a chatat and make a stipulation. Either it's yours or it's mine. Rabbi Yossi, again, he's going to say the same thing every time. Ein shnayim mevim chatat achat, right? The only thing that's going to change is which korban. Last time it was asham echad, and this time it's chatat achat. You can't have two people bring together a korban. I think what he's basically saying is either you did it or you didn't do it. You can't say, well, maybe I did it and then this is mine. You have to bring it definitively. So you can't have two people bringing one chatat. Case number three. It's going to get a little more complicated. Not complicated, but in other words, it's not complicated to understand. It's just the case gets more complicated. Instead of suffik, did you do an isser? Suffik, didn't you? You didn't do an isser. Here you're going to have chatichat chelev v'chatichat kodesh. Now you have one is usher because of chelev, and one is usher because it's hekdesh, and it's me'ila. So no matter what, you did something wrong, it's just that if you ate the chelev, you have to bring a chatat. If you ate the hekdesh, you have to bring me'ila. And not only that, but there's a debate about me'ila, whether you bring asham taloi or not. So let's see what they say. Achal achat mehem be'eni yodea eze mehen achal, mevi asham taloi. Well, you obviously bring asham taloi because even if you hold you don't bring asham taloi for me'ila, you clearly bring asham taloi for chelev. So no matter what, there's a sefik, did you eat the chelev piece? So for sure you bring an asham taloi. Achala tashnia, if you ate both, well then, we know that you definitely ate chelev, and you definitely ate hekdesh, so you're obviously going to be chayev, a chatat, and an asham badai. Here there's no sfeikot. Yeah, we don't know which time you ate which, but you know you ate both, so you're chayev both the chatat and the asham badai, right? The asham is for the me'ila, the chatat for the chelev. So now each one eats a different piece. So now, what do we say? Well, each one is safek chelev. So zemivi asham taloi, vezemivi asham taloi. They each have to bring an asham taloi for the safek chelev. Now, that's Tanakama, who holds that they don't have to bring an asham taloi on the safek me'ila, because there is no asham taloi for safek me'ila. Rabbi Shimon omer, shnehem mevi'im chatat v'asham. Rabbi Shimon says, well, we know that one's chayav chatat and one's chayav an asham, right? Because one did me'ila and one did chelev. So together they bring two korbanot and they say, right, if I did the me'ila, then the asham's mine and the chatat's yours. And if I did the chelev, then the chatat's mine and the asham is yours. Rabbi Yossi omer, ein shnai mevi'im chatat v'asham achat. Can't do that. Okay, we just don't do that. Chatichat chelev, okay, now even more complicated. Chatichat chelev, chatichat chelev kodesh. Now, each one is chelev, okay? So each one is aser mishum chelev. So no matter what, you did something wrong, no matter what you ate, but one piece also has, heck, it's also sanctified. So it's also, you have a safek me'ila here. So, achal achat mehem ve'eni yodea ez mehen achal. So if one person eats, doesn't know which one, mevi chatat. He definitely brings a chatat, but no more than a chatat, because it's only safek me'ila, and safek me'ila, according to Tanakama, you don't bring asham taloi. Rabbi Akiva omer af asham taloi. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you also bring an asham taloi. You bring a chatat because you definitely ate chelev, and additionally, you bring an asham taloi because maybe you were over on me'ila. Achalat hashnia mevi shne chataot ve'asham vadai. Here we know you're both over on chelev and on me'ila, so you bring, and you ate two pieces of chelev, so you bring a korban chatat on each chelev that you ate, and you bring an asham vadai on your me'ila. So you see here, this is one of those cases where you did two acts and you're actually chayav three korbanot. Right? We saw acts where you did one act and you're chayav five korbanot, right? Or several korbanot. Here we have three korbanot from two acts of eating. What about this case? So zemivi chatat, vezemivi chatat. They each bring a chatat, and according to Tanakama, there's no need for an asham taloi because there's safek me'ila, you don't bring asham taloi. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Zeve Zemivim Asham Taloi. He says, not only do they each bring a chatat, he doesn't say this, but it's obvious, you each bring a chatat, and additionally, they each have to bring an Asham Taloi, because each one is suffic, maybe they eat the hektesh. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zemivim Chatat, Vizemivim Chatat, right? They each bring their own chatat, that's obvious. And here's Rabbi Shimon, which is goes Lashitato. Ushnei Mivim Asham Achad, together they bring a korban Asham. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Shnehem Mevi'im Asham Echad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, two people can't bring an Asham Echad together, therefore they just each bring a Chatat. Last case. Chatichat Chelev v'chatichat Chelev Notar. We have two pieces of Chelev, but one of them was Hekdesh that was left over beyond the time that you were allowed. You were supposed to burn it on the Mizbeach, because remember, the Chelev gets burnt. You didn't burn it on the Mizbeach. So now, it's not only Chelev, it's also Notar. Okay, so, notar, what's the issue with notar? Well, it's chiyuv karet, and if you did it b'shogeg, like this, right, these are obviously all shogeg cases, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about these types of korbanot. Since it's shogeg, what do you have to do? You also have to bring a korban chatat. So, achal achat mehem ve'en yodea ez mehen achal. Mevi chatat v'asham taloi. So you bring a chatat on the chelev, because you definitely ate chelev, because both pieces were chelev, but we're not sure whether you ate the notar, and here everyone's going to agree, even Tanakamu disagrees with Rabbi Akiva about suffing me'ila, because here it's not me'ila, it's notar. So for notar, it's classic chiyuv chatat, so you'd have to bring an asham taloi, because you're not sure whether you ate the notar or not. Achalat hashniyah, you ate both. Mevi shalosh chataot. Again, you're bringing both because you ate two pieces of chelev, and one of the chelevs had notar on it, so you're going to add notar. We're obviously going to have to ask at the Gemara what question. Isn't this a case of Ein Isur Chalal Isur? Why? Because originally it was Asur Mishum Chelev, then came the Chiyuv Notar later, once it became disqualified, the time passed. Theoretically, you should say Ein Isur Chalal Isur, and you shouldn't be Chayev for Notar. So we're going to have to explain that. But here it says you're Chayev for Notar anyway. Achal Achalat HaRishona Uba Acher V'Achalat HaShnia. If one person ate one and the other person ate the other, so each one brings maybe Chatat, right? Zemi bi chatat v'asham taloi. V'zemi bi chatat v'asham taloi. Each one is vada ve'chelev. Each one is sefik ve'notar. So they're going to have to bring chatat for the chelev and an asham taloi for the notar. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zeh mevi chatat v'zeh mevi chatat. They each bring a chatat, and then shnehem mevi'im chatat achat. They each bring one chatat, an additional chatat between the two of them to cover the notar. Okay, at this point, Rabbi Shimon should be obvious as Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol chatat shibal chet, ein shnayim mevi'im ota. Anytime you have someone doing sin, right, you can't have. Notice he adds a little wording here that he didn't have all along. Okay, you can even see it on the chart because you can see all the things that Rabbi Yossi said. It's all here. So what does Rabbi Yossi say? Anytime you have something that comes for a sin, this really explains Rabbi Yossi's shita. If you did some kind of sin, you can't both of you join together and say, well, it was either you or me. We don't bring korbanot like that. Okay. Gemara starts off, we're going to have a slew of questions that Rava asked Rav Nachman about our Mishnah. The first question is Rabbi Yossi and how he differs from Tanna Kamma, okay, or Rabbi Akiva, or in whichever section it is. So, Rabbi Yossi, chatatu delo maite shnehen, right? He says you can't bring a chatat together, right? They're looking at case number two, okay, when you have the chatichache levin chulin, and then, according to Tanna Kamma, right, everybody brings an ashram talui because everyone's safek chelev, and Rabbi Shimon says they both bring one together, a vadai one, and Rabbi Yossi says he can't do that, so what does he hold? So he says, it must be chatatu delo maite shnehen, but ha ashram talui maite shnehen. Sounds like he would think each one has to bring an ashram talui. And then, hainu Tanna Kamma, then Rabbi Yossi would be Tanna Kamma, and doesn't it appear in the Mishnah here, that there's three opinions? Sounds like Rabbi Yossi's got some other opinion. So first they're going to try to answer and make a suggestion that they're going to reject. How do we know they're going to reject it? Because the Gemara starts off with v'chitema. V'chitema always means, and if you want to say this, that's not going to work. V'chitema chaticha mishtei chatichot ikabenayu. Maybe the difference between them is when you have only one piece, as I mentioned earlier, right? And that's the machloket. The machloket is the Tanna Kamma says, each one brings an ashram talui, even though the person number two only had one piece of meat in front of him. And Rabbi Yossi says, he obviously didn't say this explicitly, but we can infer, since he's mentioned as a third opinion, he must disagree with Tanna Kamma. And what would he say? Only the first person brings an ashram talui, but the second person, since he only had one piece in front of him, he's not chayav to bring an ashram talui, because ashram talui is not in the case of one piece. If you want to say that, it doesn't work, because we have a braita, v'hatanya, a braita about our exact issue, that says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, zemi v'yasham talui, v'zemi v'yasham talui. Rabbi Yossi says explicitly, they both bring an ashram talui, which means he really does match Tanna Kamma, and there's no way around it. So how can you explain that when the Braita sets it up, the Mishnah sets it up as if there's three opinions? Amar lei, so Rav Nachman answered him, Ha kamash malan deman Tanna Kamma Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah is just trying to tell you that who's the author, who's the Tanna Kamma? The Tanna Kamma is Rabbi Yossi. He holds like Rabbi Yossi. Okay. So then there's really not three opinions, it's really two opinions, and you can also explain that really Rabbi Yossi is, I would have a different way of explaining it the way the Gemara did, which is that what's Rabbi Yossi doing? He's coming to against Rabbi Shimon. In other words, we have Tanna Kamma, we have Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi agrees with Tanna Kamma, but once Rabbi Shimon states his opinion, he's trying to say why that's not doable. Okay, trying to explain, according to Tanna Kamma, why Tanna Kamma didn't say that, because we don't like Rabbi Shimon's opinion, because we don't think that you can bring a korban like that. Chatichat chelev, chatichat kodesh, chatichat chelev, chatichat chelev kodesh, chatichat chelev, chatichat chelev. Notar, really, the issue that we're dealing with here is the last case, even though they're quoting all the others, but we're really dealing now with the chelev and the chelev notar. So, amale, rava l'rav Nachman. Beleite nami asham vadai, de notar, de kodeshu. First question is, wait a minute, notar is also hekdesh. So why didn't we say that you bring an asham vadai for the me'ila? In other words, right, when you have a chaticha of chelev notar, it's not only notar and chelev, it's also hekdesh. So why doesn't me'ila factor in here? So what do they say? Amar lei, delepe shava pruta. There must not be an issue of me'ila here because you're only chayav me'ila if you have a whole pruta's worth, and it must be that there isn't a pruta's worth here. Okay? Now they're going to say, But wait, how could you say there's not a pruta here? Vahami ikara. Earlier on in the Mishnah, they brought a case of hekdesh where there was a pruta. So now all of a sudden they're bringing a case of hekdesh where there wasn't a pruta. It doesn't make any sense, right? Vahami ikara deipe shava pruta askinan. How do we know they were talking about how to shava pruta? Because dekatane asham vadai, right? Look in case number one. Chatichasha chulin, chatichasha hekdesh. You bring an asha, right? Let's say he ate both pieces. So you bring an asham vadai. What do you see here? You see here clearly, there was a Shavu Pruta. So now all of a sudden we're bringing a piece of notar that was Hekdesh that didn't have a Shavu Pruta. Seems kind of strange. So what do they answer? Amar le, hahi chaticha de lo notar, hi Shavu Pruta. One second. Amar le, hahi chaticha de lo notar, hi Shavu Pruta. Right. The piece that wasn't left over was Shavu Pruta. Okay? Okay, let's wait there. So now, what's he trying to say? When the meat wasn't notar, you had a piece of hekdesh, a piece of chulin. So that piece was worth something. As soon as you leave it over, and it's beyond its designated time, at that point, it's asur bahana'a. What are you going to do with that piece? You're going to sell it? Is it worth anything? Who wants a piece of notar? No one's going to buy that in the shuk. So that explains, when it was hekdesh, it was worth something. When it turned into notar, it's no longer valuable. So that's a good answer. Except, we have a Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel, that says, V'ha yesh ochel achila achat, dekatani be notar, v'katani mevi arba chata'o v'asham achat. If you remember in all those cases where they say you're going to be chayav on all the following things, right? You do one act, one eating, and you're chayav. Four chatats and one asham. One of the cases was notar, and you're chayav in asham because it was hekdesh. And what do you, because it was Me'ila, so what do you see? Notar could have a value of a Shavu Pruta, and you'd be chayav of an Asham. So now we're back to square one. How can you say that? Here, there's no issue of Asham Me'ila. So Amar Leh, so now we're going to distinguish, and if you look at the, I charted out on the top of the next, second side of the page, that we distinguish Hahi Begasa Vahi Bedaka, or Hahi Biyamorak Shamim, Hacha Biyamorak Chama. We're going to make a distinction and say that the Mishnah Yud Gimel was talking about a case where it was a big piece, that even though it goes down in value, it still has a worth of a pruta. Whereas by us, it was a very small piece. Now, some people say gasan daka is usually a term that you don't use for a piece, whether it's gasar daka, you'd say gadol katan. So why does it say daka gasa? Some people say that what it means is the animal itself, the chelev came from a large animal versus the chelev coming from a smaller animal. And therefore, the value might change. That's another way of explaining it. And the Yemora Chama, Yemora Kshamim, what happens to a piece of meat in the Yemora Chama, right, without refrigeration? It spoils very quickly, and therefore it's really not worth anything. Whereas in the Yemora Kshamim, potentially even a piece of chalev could have value because it'll stay longer and therefore it could have value in the shuk. Okay, so that's how we explain it. Next case. Achal Echad HaTarishona. We're still in the same case, really, because we're on the last case. We can't move on to the next case. That's it. But we're talking about the notar case, and now we're going to get back to the issue of Isur Chalal Isur. Okay? Amar Le Rav Le Rav Nachman. Again, same person asking the same person the question. Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon Isur Chalal Isur. Does Rabbi Shimon really hold Isur Chalal Isur? Okay, go back. What did Rabbi Shimon say? He said, they each bring a chatat because they ate the chalev, and together they each bring a chatat for the notar. So what do you see? Isur notar is chal on Isur chalev. Even though the animal's chalev was forbidden from the time the animal was born, all of a sudden we bring this animal for a korban, we sheft it, we then leave it over beyond the designated time, and now it turns into notar. Theoretically, we should say ein isur chal al isur. And Rabbi Shimon himself, v'hatanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, he himself holds clearly ein isur chal al isur. So how are we going to rectify this? What does he say in the following braita? Ha'ochel nevela b'yom ha-kippurim patur. Fascinating halacha. You eat a piece of nevela on Yom Kippur, you're patur from Yom Kippur, from karet. Okay, you're only chayav in Yisur Lav because you ate the nevela. But if you ate, so, right, on Yom Kippur, you eat non-kosher meat, you don't get karet for that. Okay, fascinating. Because ain't Yisur Chalal Yisur. So Amar Rav Sheshet Berei D'Rav Avin, he says, we misunderstood the case. It's not that the chalev itself was notar. It's the kigon da'achal kulia b'chalba. We saw this answer a few days ago. You ate the kidney with the chalev. So the kidney was notar, and the chalev, right, that you ate this piece of kidney, which had the meat from the kidney with the attached chalev to it, in eating that one act of eating, you're eating both chelev and notar of the kidney, because the kidney wasn't usher before. The kidney is now only usher because it's notar. So now the Gemara questions this. But there's a separate Easter on the kidney. The kidney is one of those things, okay, if you remember, we burn parts on the Mizbeach, right? Let's say you take a regular Korban Shlamim. What happens to a Korban Shlamim, right? Each of the Korbanot have different, the Ola, everything gets burned. The Chatat, we burn parts of the animal, and then the meat goes to the Kohen. A Shlamim, we burn parts of the animal, and the meat gets eaten by the owner of the Korban. Now, so both in a Chatat, Asham's like Chatat, where the meat goes to the Kohen, and in the Shlamim, parts get burned in the Mizbeach. Those are called the imurim, okay, which includes chelev, right? All the fats get burned, and parts like the kidneys get burned. So now, if these kidneys turned into notar, because you didn't burn them in the Mizbeach in the time that you were supposed to, well, at that point, they're forbidden because they're supposed to go in the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to eat any of the parts. You're only in those korbanot. You can only eat the parts you're allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat the parts that are supposed to go in the Mizbeach. That Isser came before the Isser of Notar. As soon as you have that Korban, well, those pieces are supposed to go on the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to eat them. Only later, when you left them over and didn't burn them on the Mizbeach, now Isser Notar comes. So theoretically, you shouldn't be Chayav Notar either, because of Isser Olin. So, Hechiati, Isser Notar, Chayel Ale. So the Kuliyab Chalba answer doesn't really help you, because that case is still, we tried to use it to say, oh, well, there was no Isser Chalev before, therefore we have Isser Notar. But even with the Kuliyah, the kidneys, you still have Isser Chalal Isser. So we're still stuck. So what do they say? The Chitema, again, we know they're going to reject this answer. Sfira Leila Rabbi Shimon de Notar Isser Chamor, V'chayel Al Isser Kal de Olin. Isser Notar is Isser Kari. Isser Olin, things that go on the Mizbeach for us are not Isser Karet. If you eat the parts that are supposed to get burned in the Mizbeach, you don't get Karet. That's a much lighter punishment. So therefore, a lighter Isur. So therefore, you could say maybe, well, Isur is not Chal Isur unless it's more severe. If it's more severe, then it would be Chal. Well, why can't you say that? Obviously, why can't you say that? Because what did we say Rabbi Shimon holds? If you eat Nevela on Yom Kippurim, you're not Chav in Yom Kippurim. Well, Yom Kippurim is obviously more chamor than Nevela. You get kare. Nevela is just a low tase. So you can't say that because ha Nevela, the Isur kalhu, the Yom Kippurim, the Isur chamorhu, the lo ka'ati Isur Yom Kippurim, the chamor, the chayel al Nevela, the kalhu. He doesn't think Isur kal Isur, even if it's more kal. We're going to see later that some people say if it's more chamor, it is chal, but clearly Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that way, because otherwise he would be yuchayev on Yom Kippurim for eating Nevela. So therefore, we're still stuck with explaining. How does Rabbi Shimon say that your chayav and the notar here doesn't make any sense? It should have been usher already from the beginning. And it should be isur chalal isur. So here comes the answer. Ela bekodshim galei rachmana da'ati isur chalal isur. There's a special drasha in a pasuk, which we're going to see in a minute, that teaches you that even though in isur chalal isur in the regular world, when it comes to the world of kodshim, Isur is Chalal Isur. We've seen this many times. The Kodshim has its own unique set of laws. Like, for example, Hilchot Shabbat don't apply in the Mikdash, for the most part, right? Certain Hilchot Shabbat, okay? There's certain dispensations we make. So, in the realm of Mikdash, certain things are different. In the realm of Kodshim, Rabbi Shimon will say, Isur Chalal Isur. How do we know this? Ditanya. Okay, here comes a Braita, a Nidrasha An. I'll read the whole Pasuk first. If you eat from the meat of the shlamim, which you're allowed to eat, okay? Asher la Hashem, from the shlamim that belongs to Hashem. We're going to have to explain this, asher la Hashem, because we're really talking about the meat of the shlamim that you eat, which doesn't really belong to Hashem. So the asher la Hashem is going to be weird here. Vitum ato alav. If you eat shlamim meat when you're tamei, v'nechrta nefesh yimei ameha. You're not allowed to eat kodshim meat when you're tamei. Okay? Now, Asher le Hashem. So what's this Asher le Hashem? I'm back to the Braita. Lirabot et ha'imurim. It's to say that not only if you're tummy and you eat the meat of the kodshim, do you get karet, but if you eat the imurim, you're also going to get karet. Now, why would that be a chidush? Imurim kayale b'isur olin. V'chelev kayale b'isur karet. V'ka'ate isur tuma chayel ale. The imurim, okay, there's two parts, remember, you burn the imurim and you also burn the chelev. So the imurim, like the kidneys and those parts that you burn. The imurim, are already forbidden because they're going on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to eat them. So, but here comes a new Isur of if you eat those Imurim when you're Tameh, additionally, you're going to get Karet. That's Isur Halal Isur. That's what Asher Lashem is coming to say. That in this case, when it comes to the Imurim, they were Asur anyway because of Olin, and yet you're still going to be Chayav Karet if you're Tameh and you eat them Tameh. And the Chelev, the parts that are forbidden, those were forbidden from the time the animal was born, and yet still you're going to be Chayav Karet if you eat the Chelev when you're Tameh. That's what the Asher Lashem comes to teach you. So what do you see? Ka'ati Isur Tumah Chayal Alei, right? So the Isur Tumah comes up and above and beyond the Isur Karet of Chelev and the Isur Olin of the Imurim. And what do you see here? Isur Halal Isur Bekodshim. We learned it out from a pasuk. That explains Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. That's why he said you have Isur Notar also. Because in the realm of Kodshim, Isur Halal Isur. Here's a further proof before we get to some questions on it. Teidasha Kenu, I can even prove all the more so that this is true. Taha Rebbe, I told you we get to this opinion where there are some people who think that an Isur Chamor is Chal on Isur Kal, like Nevela Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim is more Chamor, it will be Chal. So Taha Rebbe, he's the one who holds this. Rebbe Svirale, Isur Chal al Isur, he holds Isur is Chal al Isur. Vahane Mile, but it's only when Isur Chamor al Isur Kal, like Yom Kippurim on Nevela, that will work. Aval Isur Kal al Isur Chamor lo. He has a general shita about Isur Chal al Isur. He says, when it's more Chamor, then it's Chal. When it's not, remember we learned that there's Isur Mosif and Isur Right. Whenever there's something for it to attach itself to, it can then attach and then spread to the rest of it. So since you're now adding on a Chumrah, according to Rebbe, it works. If you're adding on less than what was already there, then it won't work. Now, what does that have to do with our issue? Because Rebbe, who makes this distinction, that an Isur Kal won't be Chal on an Isur Chamor, however, when it comes to Kodshim, Ube Kodshim Shamina Lady Isur Kal Al Isur Chamor. He says, when it comes to Kodshim, even what he didn't think worked in the other realm does work in the Kodshim realm. If there's an Isur Kal, it is Chal Al Isur Chamor. So there you have further proof that Kodshim is different than non-Kodshim. How do we know this? So Isur Kal, Isur Chamor, Na Michael, it does work, even if it's only an Isur Kal. Deha Isur Mi'ila Kal, Mi'ila is Kal, because you don't get Karet for it. If you only get Mita, okay? Isur Kal, Hu Mita. The Isur Kodashim, Isur Chamor, Karet. Va'ate Isur Mita, Chal Al Isur Karet. We're going to see a case where Mi'ila, which is only death, right? We're always... Even though Me'ila's death, that's pretty bad, but it's death in the hands of God, is less severe than Karet. Karet's the worst. So we're going to see a case where there's Me'ila, which is Chal Al Isur Karet. What's the case? D'tanya Rebbe Omer, Kol Chelev LaHashem. We now have a drasha on this pasuk, All Chelev LaHashem. Okay, this is the Kohen has to burn the parts of the Mizbeach. It says all the Chelev goes to LaHashem. Why does it say Kol Chelev? It just could say Chelev LaHashem. So what's the Kol Chelev? L'rabot imurei kodshim kalim l'me'ila. It's to tell you that even the other parts, the imurim, like the klayot and others, of kodshim kalim, of like a korban shlamim, go are also chayev and me'ila. And again, what do we have here? Me'ila isur mita, v'kachayel al isur chelev. We're going to say that me'ila is isur mita, and me'ila is chal on chelev and imurim, and chelev is karet. So again, you're going to say that when it comes to Chelev, there's also Isur Me'ila. So here you see that Rebbe holds, right, because that was said in the name of Rebbe, right, the Isur Kal of Mita is going to be Chal and Isur Chamor of Karet, right, Me'ila on Chelev, and therefore Shema Mina B'Kodshim Galikra. So like we said in the beginning, that in Kodshim it's unique halacha, and that was all to explain Rabbi Shimon, why in our Mishnah he holds your Chayev also a Notar, even though it's already Asur Mishum Chelev. Okay, however, we're going to now question this whole theory that Rabbi Shimon distinguishes in Kodshim. Because Vahatanya, doesn't it say in a Braita, right? We're doing fine until now. But all of a sudden they say, but wait, there's another Braita that says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Pigol Ba'olin, Ve'ein Notar Ba'olin. Remember, Pigol is when you have the wrong machshava about the Korban, the Kohen has the wrong machshava, Notar is you leave it beyond its time. What's the Isser of Pigol? The Isser is not what the Kohen did. The Isser is if somebody eats the meat later. So if you eat the meat of Pigul, or the meat that was left over of Notar, you're Chayav Kari. Okay? Now, what does Rabbi Shimon say here? It's only the meat that you were theoretically going to be allowed to eat, but it's not the Olin. It's not if you ate the imurim or the chalev of that, you won't be chayv karet of pigel or notar. Why is that? Because ain isur chalal isur, because they were already forbidden mishum olin. So what do you see here? Rabbi Shimon held, even in the world of kachim, ain isur chalal isur. So the only possible answer they could say is, ela tanaihi valiba to Rabbi Shimon. There's a machloket tanaim about what exactly Rabbi Shimon holds about ain isur chalal isur. Okay, there's a debate. Does he hold really ain isur chalal isur in kachim, or does he hold isur chalal isur in kachim? So there's a whole debate about it, and that's where this braita versus what we've seen until now. So some people say in Kachim it is, and some people say it's not. Now we have one last question. Ulamanda amar bekachim nami ein isur chalal isur. If you really want to say, now what happened before? We said that this is the case. We proved it from the pasuk asher l'Hashem, and then we brought a further proof from this kol chelev l'Hashem. What did we say? What does it include? The imurei kodshe kachim get me'ila. Kodshe kalim get me'ila. That means isur chalal isur bekachim. Well, if you don't have that drasha, then what are you going to do with the words kol chelev l'Hashem? If you think like the Tana who held that Rabbi Shimon thinks ain isur chalal isur bekachim, so what are you going to do with that pasuk kol chelev l'Hashem may aved le? So they're going to say it comes for a different case. Mokim le bevladei kodashim. Okay, the chelev of a vlad of kodashim. That's a case where you have an animal that was designated, a pregnant animal was designated, or she became pregnant once after she was designated for a korban. She's hekdesh. She then gives birth before she's sacrificed to an offspring. That offspring is hekdesh. Remember? He has sanctity to it. Now, what's the status of the chelev of that animal? Now, there's yuchayah both in chelev and in hekdesh if you eat the chelev, also in mi'ila. So, what do we say? Kol chelev l'Hashem comes to include your chayav mi'ila for eating chelev of that animal. Why? De'kasavre, if you remember, there was a whole debate about this. Vladei kodashim b'havayatan yukdoshim. Do they become sanctified when the mother gets pregnant, assuming that the mother, right, got pregnant after she was sanctified? Or do they become sanctified when they're actually born? Okay? So this opinion holds they get sanctified when they're born. If you remember, we learned Ein Yisroch Halal Isur. We said one of the exceptions to the rule was if both Isurim come at the same time. Right? Ein Yisroch Halal Isur means something was Asur first, like Nevela. Then came something additional, like Yom Kippur. Oh, that doesn't work. But in this case, when the animal was born, at that exact moment, Travayu Bahadadeatu, at the exact same moment, what happened? The Chelev of it became forbidden, and it became Hekdesh. So since both happened at the same time, because the hektesh is only chal when it's born, and the chelev isur is only when it's born, right? There's no isur chelev in utero. So, therefore, since both happened at the same time, both are chal. And that's why, that's what the pasuk kol chelev l'Hashem comes to include, to say even the chelev of a vlad kodashim is going to be asur, mishum mi'ila. That's the chidush of kol chelev l'Hashem. And therefore, right, the whole thing, it comes from chelev l'Hashem, meaning you can't, as a human, have anything to do with it because it belongs to God, mi'ila. Okay, Hajan Alachtam Shchita, we're going to start the sixth parak. Hamevi Asham Taloi, Vinodalo Shelo Chata. Okay, now we're going to have a case again. I charted this out, it'll help. Okay, we're going to have an Asham Taloi. We're going to have difference in a bunch of cases about finding out at a later stage that it actually, either you did it, you didn't do it, right? Okay, so all different things we're going to see. The question is at what stage it happened and what you do with the korban at that point. So you bring an Asham Taloi, you go to the Beit HaMikdash with your animal, and all of a sudden you find out, in fact, it wasn't chelev that you ate. So im ad shelo shachat, what if you haven't yet slaughtered the animal? Okay, so what happens to the animal? Remember, we've had all these situations. You have an animal who's already hekdesh, but now you want to remove the hekdesh. Well, you can't just remove the hekdesh because it was hekdesh. Well, Tanakhama says, yetzevir eba eder divra Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds, no problem, let it go, because you designated it just mishum safek. You knew all along. Well, we'll see exactly why he doesn't think this. But the point is, you knew when you sanctified it, it was only al tznai, if you really did something wrong. So the fact that you didn't actually slaughter it yet means that there's really no hekdesh. It was kind of a mistake, right? So you let it go. Chachamim amrim yireh ad shistei v'yimacher v'yiplu tamad v'nitava. No, you have to do this whole talich. It was already designated. You have to leave it to graze till it gets a mum. Then you can sell it. You can redeem it, right? Then the animal goes free. The money gets taken, and you put it in the kupat tzedakah of the Beit HaMikdash that goes to buy olot nedava, right? Voluntary burnt offerings. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yikrav. He says, we sacrifice it. Why does he, it gets sacrificed? Why? here's his good answer, and this matches Rabbi Elazar that we saw before. Remember what Rabbi Elazar said? You can bring an ashram teller every day if you want. So it comes and he says, Shimeino ba'al chetzeh, harei ba'al chet acher. You already designated the animal, just sacrifice it. It'll cover some other sin that you did. Im mishenishchat nodalo, second stage now. Let's say you already slaughtered the animal. So now you find out that you didn't do it. Yishafech hadam. By the way, we're going to see in the Gemara that it really doesn't matter if you find out you didn't do it or you find out you did do it. Because either which way, you don't need to bring the Ashram Taloi anymore. Right? If you find out you did do it, you bring a chatan instead. So it's really going to be either which way, even though it started off with nodalo shelo chata. But they're going to say it's both. So imishenishchat nodalo. So then he finds out that he did it, but you already slaughtered it. So yishafech hadam babasar yetzei lebeit hasreifa. Now you have a disqualified korban. So you have to spill the blood into the drain in the Beit HaMikdash, and the basar goes to the Beit HaSreifa. That's where we put to, korbanot psulot, disqualified korbanot. Nizrak adam, what if you sprinkle the blood already? Then, yachel. Then you eat the meat, because anyway, you were bringing this all misafik. So the fact that you found out now that you didn't do it, what's the difference? Or that you did do it and you have to bring chatat. You brought it the way it was supposed to be brought, so you can eat it. Rabbi Yossi omer, afilu hadam bakos, yizarek babasar yachel. Even if you haven't yet, okay, this we learned before, that kol omed lizarek kizaruk dami. Some people think, as long as this blood's about to be sprinkled, it's as if it was sprinkled, which means that at this point, you basically done your korban, so you may as well finish the tahalich, even though you know that this isn't necessary. Asham badai ain't okay. Now we're going to have three things that are ain't okay and that have minor variations. If you brought an asham badai, let's say you brought an asham mi'ila, because someone told you that you were suffering mi'ila, and it turns out they lied, or they were wrong, or there was a mistake, and you really didn't do it. So it's a little bit different. Ad shalon ishchat, before it was slaughtered, yetzev yireh be'eder, because it was a total ta'ut. It's not like the Ashram Taloi where you could say, well, you knew that it was anyway Mishum Safek, so maybe you really had intent, definitely, I'm going to bring this no matter what. But this, you did it for the absolute wrong reason. You weren't guilty at all. So you let it go. Mishenishchat, but once it's already slaughtered, Hareze Yikaver. Then it's a disqualified korban, it has to be buried. Because what happened? You brought Chulim Ba'azara. You really weren't supposed to bring that korban, so now it has to be buried. Nizrak hadam habasar yetzei lebeit hasreifa. Again, it's disqualified. So what, that you sprinkled the blood? It was all a mistake. So it has to go to the Beit HaSreifa. Again, that's where you put disqualified items. Next thing. Now we're not talking about sacrifices anymore. We're talking about shor niskal. Shor niskal is an animal that killed a person or that engaged in relationships, sexual relations with a person. And he has to get stoned. Now, what if he was accused falsely? Okay? So, ad shelo niskal yetzev yireh ba'eder. We let him go. Now, shor niskal and the next case, egla rufa, are all things that are forbidden bahana'a. You can't benefit from them. Okay? So now, in this case, it was a mistake, so we let it go. And of course, you could benefit from it. Misha niskal, once it was already stoned, at this point, it's not like a disqualified korban. It was a total mistake that we did skila, and therefore he's mutar bahana'a. You can benefit from it. There's no problem with benefiting because it wasn't really a shor niskal. The whole thing was a mistake. It's not like a sacrifice that you brought and then it turned out it was disqualified and therefore it's asur bahana'a. But the real reason shor niskal is asur bahana'a is because of what he did. The shor, it turned out, didn't do anything wrong. So he's mutar bahana'a even after his death. Egla arufa ain't okay. But there's a difference between that and egla arufa. Why? What's the egla arufa, right? Suffolk, whether someone died, we don't know. We measure the closest city, right? Those kenim have to come. They take an egla, they break its neck, right? And they say, yadenu lo shafcha dam ze, we didn't kill this person, right? And they atone for whoever killed the person and for the communal responsibility that they let it happen. So egla arufa ain't okay. Ad shalon erfa, again, there was a mistake. There really was no need for egla arufa. Ad shalon erfa, if they didn't break the neck yet, tetzev et yireh be'eder, it was all a mistake, we let it go. But misha ne'erfa, tikaver bimkoma. It has to be buried, it's asur bahana. Why? It's the same as the din of a regular egla rufa. Why is that? Sha'al safek ba mitchila, ki pras veka v'halchala. It came from the beginning out of a safek. That's, we weren't sure who did it. So now that we found out, let's say, who did it, we didn't need the egla rufa, but in the end, it came to be mechaper for the safek, and therefore, it did. Since we already broke its neck, it was mechaper for whatever it was mechaper for. Its job was done, even though now we found out, but it's like the Ashram Taloi. You brought it because you were expecting, right? You knew you were bringing it for a safek situation. So therefore, since you already, it's fully done, it's treated like a full egg larufa. We don't say, oh, it's not a sor b'hana'ah anymore because it was a mistake. Okay, last bit for today. Gemara says, but my plea, okay, what's really the source of the machloka between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim? In the first case, you bring an Hashem Talo, then you find out that you didn't sin. If you haven't slaughtered it yet, does it go and do you let it go? Or do you have to wait till it gets a moon? Rabbi Meir savar, kevan de lo tzarich le, lo makdish le. Since you don't need it, when you designate in the first place, you designate it, maybe I'll need it, maybe I won't. So it wasn't really full hektish. Rabbanan savar, mitoch shelibo nokfo, gomer umakdish. Since you were worried, maybe I did something wrong, you say, I'm fully designating this in the event that I did something wrong. So, libonokfo is like you're worried always that maybe you did something wrong. So since you're worried that you did something wrong, therefore you brought it wholeheartedly that you wanted to take care of possibly doing something wrong. In which case, you can't just remove the hekdesh status from it, you really designated it. Okay? And then, the Gemara just says, Tana ben she noda shechata u ben she Ben nodalo shalochata. It doesn't matter what you find out in the end. Pligi Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanan. They argue in both cases. Okay, b'shenodalo shechata. In the case where you knew in the end that you sinned, well, the chidush is more in lahodiachal kohod Rabbi Meir. Da'af agav diyadach shechata. Even though now he finds out for sure he did it, still you can let the animal go from the Ashram Taloi. Why? It doesn't matter what you found out now. It matters what you were thinking at the time you designated the animal. When you designated the animal, you had no idea. And therefore, you didn't really know, and therefore, you designate it like questionably. But when he finds out that he actually didn't sin, then what's the bigger chiddush? Even though he didn't sin, since at the time, even though now it turns out he didn't do anything wrong, but when he designated the animal, he was worried maybe he did something wrong. Libo nokfo hava, right? He was concerned. Therefore, he just very clearly said, I'm separating this 100%, right? The whole issue is, what was the person thinking in their head? Were they thinking, maybe I'll need this, maybe I won't? Or were they thinking, no, I definitely want to bring this to cover myself. Okay, even though in the end it turns out you didn't do anything wrong, still you had definitive intents in the beginning according to Chachamim, and therefore you still have to let it graze till it gets a moon because it is full hektish.